Blackstone Audio presents Fata Morgana by Stephen R. Boyette and Ken Mitroni. This book is read by MacLeod Andrews. Dedication from Stephen R. Boyette to James Ray Boyette, who bought me my first typewriter, and to Carol F. Boyette, who taught me to love the words inside it. Loved, admired, and deeply missed. Dedication from Ken Mitroni to Private First Class Joseph Mitroni, USMC, my favorite World War II vet, and to Jeanette Mitroni, matron of the arts, loving parents, and my special link to the greatest generation. Fata Morgana, noun. An unusual form of mirage involving almost any kind of distant object, often distorted unrecognizably, invisible from land or sea, polar regions or deserts, at any altitude, including from airplanes. The name, from the sorceress Morgan Le Fay in the Arthurian legend, derives from a belief that these mirages were fairy castles in the air, or false land created by witchcraft to lure sailors to their death. Prologue. 2 weeks ago, in the Voice of America, they had bombed an airplane factory in Brunswick and barely made it back. The Germans had that ground sewn up tight, flak so heavy the birds were walking on it. Even while you watched it shred the bombers in triple group formation ahead of you, you found yourself admiring the precision placement. The Krauts had a gee-whiz mechanical computer rangefinder that directed the 8.8-centimeter anti-aircraft guns that fired a 20-pound shell faster than the speed of sound. The shells went off at programmed altitudes like deadly popcorn kernels, spraying metal fragments that punched through aluminum sheeting, cut fuel and electrical and hydraulic lines, fouled props, and shredded engines and men. And there was nothing to be done about it. The bombers had to stay level and on course because the top-secret Norden bombsite had delicate gyros that wanted a Cadillac glide once the run over the initial point began. For maximum concentration of explosive damage, the bombers had to remain in tight echelon formation, which also maximized the devastation of the flak bursts. Once the bomb run began, there was no deviating. No evasive maneuvers, no flying above or below the flak level. There was nothing you could do but ride it out and grab your lucky charms. The only good in that hot mess was that the flak kept the Luftwaffe out of their hair, because on the Brunswick mission, the Messerschmitts had been on them like starving fleas on a fat hound. Boney Mullen, their bombardier, had released with the lead bombardier's drop.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?